At the start of this year, there's some really interesting new resources and news regarding Bible translation that I want to share with you. So let's jump right in and talk about first the Archive. I'm going to link all of this stuff in the description of this episode. The Archive is a new initiative by Biblica to provide free resources for the global translation community and to supplement and enhance current Bible translation training curricula. So you can go check that out. The next one I want to highlight is tools.bible. It's a website that you can explore now. It's not officially launched, but it's providing well-curated links to key Bible translation tools. So once again, that's tools.bible, and it looks like a really nice site. Also, I can't remember if I have mentioned it specifically on this podcast before, but if you go to BibleTranslationCompetencies.org, you can find all kinds of these sorts of suggestions, these kinds of tools and links, and many more resources to help develop competence in Bible translation. So definitely check that out. It's a growing resource. My friend Phil King keeps adding more and more things that he finds that would be useful for you to work in Bible translation or to grow in your knowledge or practice in Bible translation. Now, another interesting thing is that the Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary in North Carolina is launching a new Center for Biblical Text and Translation. So you can go find out more information on their website, and I'll link that in the description, like I said. Another news item is that the latest issue of SIL's Open Access Peer-Reviewed Journal of Translation has just been released, and it's a special theme issue on the translation of conditionals. The editors are delighted with the depth and quality of the articles, and you can check it out because it is open access. Here are some of the titles: Conditionals in the New Testament, Interpretation and Translation by Steve Nicole; Jesus and Illocutionary Forces, Common Functions of Conditionals in the Gospels, also by Steve Nicole and Kay Quickert; and then Only If Father God Is With You, Translating Post-Nuclear Conditional Clauses in the Gospels by Stephen Levinson, my former mentor, and a lot more. So if that's something that sounds interesting to you, then go ahead and check it out. The link will be in the description. Now, finally, I want to highlight the seventh release of the Key Terms of the Old Testament Project. So this is an ongoing project that's been going on for years. It has 10 new articles, bringing the total number of completed articles to 83, which are now available in Paratext as of the 10th of January of this year. So in Paratext, the latest release can be downloaded and installed at the Paratext Extras website, which I will link down below. So you'll click on KTOT and then scroll to the bottom of the page where you'll find the download link and directions for installing the latest release. So I thought it would be great for us to read together one of these key terms of the Old Testament articles to see what it's like and see if this would be a useful tool for you if you haven't used it before. I've chosen the article on the Hebrew word kavod. So at the top, we have some glosses of the verb form to be heavy and of the nominal form greatness, glory, wealth, honor, praise, reputation. It says the Hebrew word kavod can be defined as the manifestation of great wealth, power, or status belonging to God or mighty people. In a more extended sense, the word can also be used to describe the expression of praise and or awe and fear in response to such a display of greatness. Kavod can have the following contextual senses. Number one, wealth, abundance, prized possession. And then it has an example from Genesis 31:1 in the NIV. Jacob heard that Laban's sons were saying, "Jacob has taken everything our father owned and has gained all his wealth, kavod, from what belonged to our father." And then it has a bunch of links to different passages like Esther 1:4, Psalms 49:17, etc. if you want to look at further examples of this contextual meaning. Number two, valuable reward. Now, it has Numbers 24:11, "Leave at once and go home. I said I would reward you handsomely, but the Lord has kept you from being rewarded, kavod." Number three, soul, person honor when referring to oneself. Let me, or my soul, not enter their counsel. Let me, my honor, or kvodi, not join their assembly. For they have killed men in their anger and hamstrung oxen as they pleased. Genesis 49:6 in the NIV. So they're highlighting that nafshi, my soul, is in parallel with kivodi, my honor. So number four, splendor, beauty, greatness, majesty, pomp. We have an example from Ezekiel 31:18. Which of the trees of Eden can be compared with you in splendor, kavod, and majesty? Yet you too will be brought down with the trees of Eden to the earth below. You will lie among the uncircumcised with those killed by the sword. Number five, we have honor, praise, reputation. A verse from Genesis 45:13 reads, tell my father about all the honor, kivodi, accorded me in Egypt, and about everything you have seen, and bring my father down here quickly. Next is number six, nobility, elite, people of honorable status. Has a verse, Isaiah 5:13, therefore my people will go into exile for lack of understanding. Those of high rank, kivodo, will die of hunger, and the common people will be parched with thirst. Number seven, God, Yahweh, who is worthy of honor. Has a nation ever changed its gods? Yet they are not gods at all. But my people have changed their glorious God, kivodo, for worthless idols. Jeremiah 2:11. So that's interesting that the NIV chose to translate it that way. I don't remember that. I am very used to that verse in the ESV, which just simply says, my people have exchanged their glory. So number eight, we have visible manifestation of Yahweh's powerful presence. And in the morning, you will see the glory of Yahweh, kavod Yahweh. And there's a little typo there in kavod that in the Hebrew that if someone's listening, they might want to fix. Because he has heard your grumbling against him. Who are we that you should grumble against us? Exodus 16:7. Number nine, honorable vindication. Divine intervention showing that an accused person has not done wrong and is worthy of honor instead of blame. The verse is Isaiah 62:2, which says, the nations will see your vindication, tzidkech, and all kings your glory, kivodech, and you will be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will bestow. So after that list covering the range of meaning, you have a discussion in this article. The first title is Determining the Contextual Meanings of Kavod. It says the word kavod has a broad range of contextual meanings, as is evident from the summary above. In most cases, the context gives one or more clues as to which contextual meaning is intended or primarily in focus. Parallel expressions with similar meanings and/or words with opposite meaning used in the same context help to determine the meaning of these words. This section explains some of the main contextual clues for the various senses identified. And then it has the list of senses that we just read through, but with a little more discussion. So for example, I'll just give one. Number one, wealth, abundance, prized possession. And it says, when kavod occurs with oser, wealth or possessions, or other expressions that refer to possessions. So moving down, it has the frequency of the word kavod. It says it occurs 202 times in the Old Testament, including its occurrence in the name ikavod. Four times the word is written as kavod with just the holim and not the holim vav. And it gives the references. And then it says the word occurs most frequently in Psalms, Isaiah, the Pentateuch, Ezekiel, and Proverbs. Then it has a section on words with the same root. So kavod is lexically related to the verb kavad, which means to be heavy in kal, and in hifil, to give honor. But in most cases, the notion of heaviness seems to be absent from the noun kavod. Anyway, I'm not going to read the whole section. You can go check it out for yourself, but I just want to give you a flavor of this because this is actually a pretty long article. Then we have a section on nouns constructed with kavod. So I'll just give you one example. Kavod as a modifying noun with shem, name, as modified noun in Psalm 72:19, and then it gives some more references. And then kavod with el as a modified noun in Psalm 29:3. Kavod with kise, throne, as modified noun in 1 Samuel 2:8, etc. And so you can look at that. Then there's a section on verbs constructed with kavod. So for example, verbs with kavod as indefinite object. And it will give you some examples of that in different passages. And if we go down, it will have words with similar meanings. So the following words have meanings that are similar to kavod. And then it gives a list of these different Hebrew words like tiferet, beauty, honor, dignity. Example, Esther 1:4. It occurs 51 times in the Old Testament. It gives you the occurrence of each word. Then we have hod, authority, power. And we have hadar, splendor, strength. For example, Psalm 8:5. We have oz, power, strength. And givurah, power, in Psalm 145:11, etc. So you can check out all of these kinds of similar words. And then there's a section on words with opposite meanings. And so, for example, galon, shame, Proverbs 3:35, Isaiah 22:18, gilima, disgrace, and some others. Now going down, we have a section on the application of the term kavod. So it says the word kavod is applied to different persons and objects. And it has a whole list: God, kings, man, mankind, people group, city, trees, wealth and harvest or possessions, holy places and objects, wisdom, salvation. And it has a little discussion here. The word kavod seems to be primarily associated with the domain of kingship. Compare renderings like majesty in English, etc. So then it has a section on the cultural background. And it says honor and shame played an important role in the Old Testament. One of the basic principles was to give honor to whom honor was due. This included giving due honor to God, to parents, and to authorities ordained by God. Giving honor was not just a matter of verbal expression. It also implied allegiance and obedience to the divine or human person who was worthy of honor. So compare Malachi 1:6. In patron-client relationships, the honor of a patron was closely linked to the honor of his client. Clients appealed to their patron's name or honor in order to be rescued by them from their enemies. And this keeps going. We have another section on discussion of the semantic domain of kavod. And so, for example, I'll just give you the beginning of this. DeVries and Burton limit their research in the semantic domain of the term kavod to words that have similar meaning. They do not include words with opposite meanings in their analysis. Burton's research is primarily based on statistical research. In both cases, terminology related to shame is not included in the discussion. In addition, comparison between the related meanings of kavod and kadosh, holy, is not included in these otherwise exemplary monographs on kavod. And it keeps going. So there's quite a long discussion there. And then there's a section on translation issues. The word kavod in Hebrew has many near synonyms, which makes it a challenge for translators to match this diversity of expression in most receptor languages. I can attest to that. It's very, very, very difficult, especially with these Mexican languages that have lost a lot of their diversity of expression because of 500 years of colonialism. And it goes on, it says, a certain degree of undifferentiation in terminology is to be expected in translation, but especially in liturgical texts, it is important to use a variety of expressions that closely resemble the variety of expression in the Hebrew text. The rendering of Kavod Yahweh in the sense of the powerful, awesome presence of Yahweh may be a challenge in languages that do not have an abstract word for presence. In such cases, renderings like the power of Yahweh or the brightness of Yahweh may be needed. Another option would be to use a rendering like the cloud that covers the brightness of Yahweh. Now, this whole key term article was written by Dick Cronemann, and then he has a bibliography at the end of it. So if you're interested in lexicography, I would encourage you to check out the example given in these key terms that are discussed at such length and just the methodology that is employed in developing them. I think it's a really good model of learning about doing word studies, etc. So his bibliography has a good handful of different sources, so you can check that out if you're interested. I just want to give a big thank you to Brian Migliazza, who posted this translation news on map.bloomfire.com. If you want to read about other news items from the world of translation, you can also go and check out what he posts there pretty much every month. Now, just as a little final personal announcement, I will share that I just finished composing and recording the entire chapter of Psalm 136 in Hebrew, put to music. So if you're interested in doing some scripture memory in Hebrew, or you just want to hear what it might sound like, the whole thing sung from beginning to end, every word, I'll go ahead and play it as an outro for this episode. If you want to see the lyric video that my wife put together, which is an amazing work of animation with her own artwork to illustrate what is being described in the psalm, I will link that in the description as well. Yahweh ki tov, ki le'olam chasdo. Hodu le'lohe ha'elohim, ki le'olam chasdo. Hodu la'adone ha'adonim, ki le'olam chasdo. Le'ose nitla'ot gedolot levado, ki le'olam chasdo. עושה השמיים בתבונה כי לעולם חסדו לרוקע הארץ על המים כי לעולם חסדו לעושה אורים גדולים כי לעולם חסדו השמש לממשלת ביום כי לעולם חסדו את הירח וכוכבים לממשלות בלילה כי לעולם חסדו למכה מצרים בבחוריהם כי לעולם חסדו ויוצא ישראל מתוכם כי לעולם חסדו ביד חזקה ובזרוע נטויה כי לעולם חסדו לגוזר ים סוף לגזרים כי לעולם חסדו והעביר ישראל בתוכו כי לעולם חסדו וניער פרעה בחילו וים סוף כי לעולם חסדו
Shabbat.